All right, let's take a look here. Think Trump did something illegal in the New York hush money case. I've been interested in whether or not these numbers would change at all during the course of this trial. Simply put, John, they have not. Pre-opening statements, think Trump did something illegal, 46%. After the direct examination of Michael Cohen by the prosecution, look at where we are now, 46%. The percentage of Americans who think that the charges are very serious, in fact, dropped from 40% to a little bit more than 35% during the course of this trial. So, yes, perhaps things might have changed with those 12 jurors, but when it comes to the larger American public, there has been no change, at least so far, John.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares at all whatsoever about this godforsaken trial. We're all done. And the media, by the way, even the people who are not like major Trump fans have been made to not care about this thing. Yep. Like the people who are really excited about it, who were like, yeah, get him. Now they're like, well, hell. Because it's so dumb. This is why I've avoided covering it, because I think it's stupid, number one. And I, you know, heaven forbid, I can't just, I think I'd rather be shot out of a cannon into space than to talk about this thing day in and day out, unless there's like a major development, because it's just such a stupid witch hunt. It's so stupid. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash with you. Oh boy, I got some humdingers for you today. Not even sorry about that. I had to read this stuff, so I'm going to share it with you. So it's good to be with you. It's Thursday. I literally almost said Tuesday. Why? Feels like a Tuesday. It's dark and dreary. It's a perfectly goth day in Texas. There's no sun out. You wouldn't even know it's spring, save for the humidity. It feels like Houston and Dallas. It's, it's a real kind of day. So it's affecting our mood. So we feel a little bit more curmudgeonly than usual, I think, here on the Dana Show. So we're going to make sure we take that right into programming. It's going to be lovely, especially with some of these topics today. For it's like this. I mean, now you got the jurors. It could happen. Now we're in day two. I cannot even believe that they're deliberating this for day two. I would be a nightmare juror. I would be. Have you ever thought about how you would react, by the way, like if you were in this position? Like if you were a juror on this case, you would be a pain in the backside. You know you would be, because I would be like, I know what the judge said, but you know, he's a moron. So here we are. Like when I had to do my federal jury duty, I feel like they looked at my name and were like, no, not this one. She's nuts. We can't have her. I mean, I'm wondering what's going on. They're in day two now of these deliberations, and I'm fascinated as to how, what's going on. Well, I mean, we'll know soon enough. But by and large, now they get to make the determination what's going to happen. And that's where we're at. And in the meantime, you have Biden's just struggling so bad. They're trying to desperately take everything back to January 6th, because that's all they can do. That is literally all they can do at this point. They have nothing else. They have nothing else at all. So this judge, you know, his jury instructions, is it a hush money? By the way, can I just stop for a second? I want to take everybody back to the Clinton era. I thought about this morning. I was going to write notes down on this, and then I got distracted. Squirrel! And, you know, here we are. Can we just go back to the Clinton era for a moment? I was in junior high when all of this happened. And the left could not believe that I didn't know about some of the sexual stuff that was being discussed during Clinton's Trump. Sorry, I wasn't raised by whore parents like you were. What did Hillary Clinton call all the women who were making accusations of Bill Clinton? Remember the woman in Arkansas, you had Jennifer Flowers, you had Paula Jones. Then there was that one lady who said that she was groped real hard after her husband passed and Bill Clinton was all over her like a bad suit. Bimbo eruptions. That's what it was. If this was legitimately a situation, if Democrats really felt in their heart of hearts that this was that hush money's bad, Bill Clinton would have never made it to the White House. What do you think that he did with Jennifer Flowers and Paula Jones and the bimbo eruptions? They had to silence the bimbo eruptions. Where do you think that phrase came from? It came from Hill Dog. It came from Hillary Clinton. They just went. I mean, that's why this is so stupid. It's so dumb. It is a separate issue. Look, clutch your little principles all you want to. Hug them, kiss them, call them George. I don't give a rat's ass. I'm looking at this very clinically here. It is whatever you think about paying money to a side piece to shut her up is irrelevant to whether or not it is illegal or not to pay a side piece to shut her up. Are we all in agreement here? Now, I have a secondary opinion on this. If there is a criminal action, if there is something criminal in this whole thing, it is the rule that should be established that your side piece should look better than your wife. You laugh, Kane. You guys don't know sexism until you hear me talk for a little while. I think that a man should be charged. If your side piece is uglier than your wife, you've committed a crime, and I think you should be charged for that. I'm tired of pretending that it's okay. I feel like the Joker talking to Bob De Niro, and I'm tired of pretending that it's not. But it's true. Now, going back to this little situation, the Clintons, the bimbo eruptions, all the women that came forward during that case, whoo, dog, there were lots of them. Tons of these women that came forward. And you had the same situation, but it was okay when Bill Clinton did it because it's D different, right? It's D different. Now this situation, this is dumb that we're even having this. And they don't, and like we explained yesterday, they don't even have to be told that they're actually what the crime was. They never said what the other crime was that was committed in order to elevate this misdemeanor to a felony. They never said that. That's why this is so dumb. This is why people don't have any faith in the justice system. This is why I'm like, oh, I'm going to federal jury duty. Let's go to the clown show. Right. I have a pretty good reason to not have faith in it. I think you do, too. Now, some are saying, well, there should be, you know, the instructions, first off, are ridiculous. And some are saying that the judge kind of, you know, tried to tip the scales in favor of a conviction. And that's the thing. You could, and remember, this all has to do with the instructions that you don't have to incorporate as part of your decision-making process any information about the supposed crime that was never actually named that elevated this misdemeanor that has gone past its statute of limitations into a felony. You never have to actually mean it. And so here we are. So when they told the jury that they don't really need a unanimous decision because this has to do with, and the instructions were verbally given. They don't get printed copies either, which is insane to me. I get that for some things you can't, but they have to go and listen to, what is it, like 30 minutes of instructions?
It's more like an hour.
Is it like an hour? Because I know that everything, when they have a question about something like a transcript, they don't actually get the transcript. They have to have it read to them. And then when they reconvened, they all had to go through the jury instructions again. You knew that this was going to go crazy from the get-go because it was stupid the way the charges were brought. So I'm not expecting anything other than chaos from this. I mean, they don't have to agree on what the crime actually is that elevated this to a felony. And that's the thing. They said that, you know, it's still, and Turley was saying the jury was given as to the crimes that elevated this from a, you know, again, past statute of limitations misdemeanor to a felony. He said the jury was given really like no substantive information on any of this stuff. And there was a legal expert who was actually going to explain that there was no federal election violation that was never allowed. They were never admitted to court. They were never allowed to testify. And it's bizarre to me because I just feel like if you're making a determination as to whether or not someone's guilty of a federal crime when it's at best a bookkeeping thing or even a tax thing, which is ultimately, if they really wanted an open and shut case with no criticism, they could have argued this from a tax perspective, but they didn't for some reason. And then now you have the jury not allowed to take this into consideration. And when you don't if that's the evidence that's required to even get to this point, to even get to the point where you have a jury and you're not required to present it in court, that's insane to me. It's like me accusing one of you of a crime and saying, well, this crime that you committed, which is a you ran a stop sign because you were fleeing something like the scene of a murder. But I never actually said what you were fleeing from. I just said you ran a stop sign. So because you were fleeing a crime, that elevates, and we're not going to name it, that elevates your running a stop sign, which is a misdemeanor, into a felony. You see what I'm saying? And I'm not ever going to say exactly what you were fleeing from, but the nature of that crime and the fact that you committed it, and this was technically in commission of that, elevates the whole damn thing to a felony and necessitates a jury trial. I just feel like that's an important part of the puzzle that the jury has to have in order to make a decision. And because that's kind of been thrown out the window, I mean, they did tilt the scales for this. I mean, they absolutely tilted the scales for this. So I don't know. I think I'm expecting a conviction, regardless of whether it's just or not. I mean, they're going to go through the appeals process, but that's what I'm looking at. That's what I think. What do you think, Kane? You think it's going to be a conviction just because how stupid it all is?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the only way that this could end up. Because remember that phrase, and Andy McCarthy said it before, if you want to indict a ham sandwich with a grand jury, I mean, if that's what you want to do, it can be done.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen. You're going to make it happen for you if that's what you're going to do. We're going to keep track on this because, I mean, we'll go over the appeals process and all that stuff. When that kicks in to gear, when we get into all it. I mean, it's just, and again, I think this is going to backfire on Democrats who are, I think they're trying to keep Trump from campaigning, but I also believe that they feel as though if they can make Trump look tainted enough, but they always overplay their hand. That's one thing that you can count Democrats in doing. They always overplay their hand. And I think they're going to go so hard in this that it's going to backfire on them. And it's going to make everyone refocus on Biden's just disastrous administration and the reason why he's dragging so hard in the polls, which we're going to talk about, because now they're trying to deflect attention and talk about J6 stuff, because they were going after each of the individual justices. They started going after Amy Coney Barrett's husband the other day. They have been going after Justice Alito's wife, which we've talked about. They're trying to make this a big J6 thing now, and I think trying to divert attention away from New York, because now everybody knows how stupid this is, and you even have Democrats speaking out as to how silly this is. I think this is going to erupt in all the wrong ways for them, and you know they deserve it. They made their bed and they got to lie in it. So there's a company that I just started using called Ammo Squared, and Ammo Squared helps you stay stocked up on ammunition like automatically. It's a truly automated system. You set it and you forget it. It's an ammo purchasing program, and you can pick whatever caliber you want. You can set your budget. You can select your shipping, and that's it. And the cool thing is that it builds up, your ammunition builds up over time, and it's stored in this climate-controlled warehouse, and it sends it automatically when you want it, when you have it selected to send. And ammunition is a hard asset. I mean, it's something that's tangible. I think we all remember the uncertainty, like back in 2019, 2020, when there were certain calibers that were kind of hard to find. And we were calling some of our retail friends and saying, when do you get a shipment of this? Can we get some? Can we lay claim to some when it comes in? And in times of uncertainty and inflation, the value of all this stuff only goes up. So Ammo Squared is there to help smooth out the rough spots of ammunition availability. It's like an ammo 401k or something like that. You set it up. You have ammo for that rainy day when store shelves are empty and ammo's hard to find. So you can learn more and you can sign up today at ammosquared.com and ensure that you're prepared for whatever may come your way. That's ammosquared.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is horrifying. Listen to this. This is in Texas, Houston. See, them gators are everywhere. A missing Texas woman's body was found inside the jaws of an alligator who was still eating her. They haven't not yet revealed the identity or cause of death. I'm thinking it could have been a gator. Just, you know, she was in her 60s, believed. And they found her on the banks of the Horsepin Bayou in Clear Lake about 8:40 a.m. Tuesday, 12 hours after she went missing. And they discovered the alligator gnawing on her. They had to shoot it to prevent it from damaging the remains further. A dive team then recovered the body and the alligator from the bayou. They have not yet. I could not be on a dive team like that. They've not revealed her identity, and they said they're going to do the autopsy from what they can, but that's just awful. Her husband reported her missing. It's unclear if she was actually killed by the alligator, but they're trying to figure it out. But yeah, they said that they're all over in that area. So just assume they're everywhere. Anywhere from like Houston or like Tyler, Texas on east, it's gator country. They're into puddles. Just assume. Nearly half of Gen Z live a double life online. This is not surprising. Apparently, they say that Gen Z feels like it's a double life when it comes to their online and offline personas. 2,000 Americans were surveyed, split evenly by generation. 46% of Gen Z felt their online personality differs from how they present themselves in the real world, as opposed to 18% of Gen Xers who will call you a see you next Tuesday to your face just like they do on social media. Just saying. It's true. Spy pandas. This was my first thought when I saw this headline. They call it panda diplomacy. No, it's not. These pandas are actually probably people in panda costumes. China is sending two pandas to Washington. They said that it's a surprise announcement. Panda diplomacy. The pandas are going to arrive in the United States. They're spies. These pandas are straight up spies. You know this. You think they're friendly because they're all cutie cute and their babies are pure chaos. But they're spy pandas. So apparently they're going to be here in D.C. towards the end of the year. I don't know how I feel about it, Kane. Thoughts? You know it's going to be a dude in a panda suit. I'm just waiting for it. A white writer was eviscerated because he disguised himself as black so he could write a book about racism. Sam Forster, who is a white Canadian, he revealed the premise of his book Tuesday, and he was immediately ripped into complete shreds. He told himself, he goes, last summer I disguised myself as a black man and traveled throughout the U.S. to document how racism persists in American society. I mean, you could have had a black author write that if that's what you wanted to do. But that's white privilege right there. A communist white leftist. Totally. We have a lot more on the way, including aliens and, well, something else. You got the post on it from Substack last night. Stick with us. So set immigration politics aside for a moment. New diseases are entering through U.S. borders and infections. The University of Nebraska's Med Center has been tracking it. USA Today has written about it. All kinds of infections, diseases. Plus, you remember the medication shortages during COVID and remember not being able to see a doctor and long lines at the ER? So my advice is to prepare for the next disease or infection. Get out in front of it. Order a medical emergency kit from the Wellness Company. Now, it's not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your house with essential prescriptions. And it comes with doctor-prescribed meds to treat over 39 different medical issues. And these are strong antibiotics for infections of all type, like strep throat, pneumonia, UTIs, bronchitis, so much more. Plus, there's an easy doctor's guide you can follow, so you'll know exactly when and how to use it without a trip to the doctor or the hospital or the pharmacy. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes, and your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
While I was putting together my speech, and I started to reflect the way probably all of you do, and I was reflecting, and it's like, where was my last graduation? And that was literally a quarter century ago, 25 years ago, and I was graduating from Harvard University. But today, I have been profoundly disappointed the way Harvard's inability to stand up for the Jewish community after the protests. And for me personally, I do not fundamentally believe that it's right for me to wear this today.
And picks up the Crimson Hood as he's giving a commencement speech at Harvard telling everyone to go pound sand. Kane, what do I say here? He keeps doing things that we like.
I know. He's the most impressive Democrat.
This is so awkward.
Of the last 2 years.
He's ours now. We claim him from the left. If you want him, come and take him. It'll be like Arwen crossing the river. And then we'll whisper it, like Call of Duty elf whisper style, as the water rages. If you want him, come and claim him. He's ours now. You guys can't have him. Welcome back to the program. Bottom of this first hour, Dana Lash with you, as we wait for this jury to figure out whatever it's doing. There's rumors that it's a person, one person, who's being the sticky wicket, so to speak. I'm all for this. Let it happen. Let's just let it happen. Because otherwise, I think it's a conviction. We were talking a little bit about that. That's what I think. I wanted to share this with you. Speaking of Gaza, this U.S.-built pier, they're going to remove it and repair it now. Didn't it sink?
It did.
They should just, like, throw the money in the water next time.
That would be faster.
It would be. I mean, how many was $320 million?
Yeah, probably more than that.
Oh, it's definitely going to be more than that now. The Associated Press. The pier used to carry in humanitarian aid arriving by sea is one of the few ways that free food and other supplies are getting to Palestinians. Shut up. No, they're not. It was taken by people. It was taken. Palestinian is a fake word. It was taken by Gazans, taken by Hamas, and resold on the black market. Literally 70% of it never got to, over 70%, never got to where it was going. And now the damn thing sank, and we got servicemen who were wounded, and they were shelled by Gazans. So, you know, there it is. That's it. Maybe they could use some of those tunnels going underneath Egypt into Rafah, where they've been holding the hostages. People are like, why would Israel go into Rafah? I don't know. You tell me. Somebody takes members of your family, including babies, and holds them hostage amongst refugees in a camp. Are you going to go in and get them? Or are you going to sit outside with your thumb up your butt and go, oh, I don't know. I don't want to hurt the feelings of the terrorists and all the people that voted for them in the encampment. Oh, shut up. So stupid. It's so dumb. These people get more people killed. So, can we talk about this stupid thing? I mentioned this yesterday, but we dove deep. We dove deep this morning. I'm really sorry. This came from the Department of Labor.
Oh, God.
I'm going to have you on the simulcast of the radio program that you can listen to across the country. I'm going to have you throw up just the tweet. Just the tweet. Or the post, X post, what is it? The X, whatever.
On the X, yeah.
Because before I dive into this nightmare, I want to pause. Well, we'll read the tweet, and then I need to make a point about the image being used. So the U.S. Department of Labor tweeted out yesterday, quote, hashtag menstruation affects half the U.S. workforce, but talking about it at work can be taboo. For hashtag menstrual hygiene day, here are 5 easy actions employers can take to help menstruators thrive at work. So what is that? You mean a woman? Because again, gentlemen, if you are bleeding from your crotchal area, you need to seek medical attention. Because I can promise you that ain't normal. Okay? Let's establish that. But the other thing that I noticed, like before even getting into this nightmare, was I guess the chick, they used a purposely androgynous photo of this chick with bleached hair, and she doesn't have an apple, so that means she doesn't have a banana. So they used this, look at this androgynous photo. She's got a horrible like mullet. It goes from Little Lord Fauntleroy in the front to mullet in the back. Can you imagine like being a stock photo model and having your photo taken for a stock photo gallery and then becoming the face of menstrual hygiene? Can you imagine that's you? Like you're walking around in the street and someone recognizes you. Oh my gosh, you're the menstruation hygiene lady. Can you imagine? That's you. Like you modeled for the photo and stock photo and it's used like this. How bad is your life? So that's the first thing I immediately thought, like, she's the menstruation hygiene lady. The second thing I thought was menstruators isn't a real word. Women is, though. And only in that area, it's a biological function. Don't sit here and try to act like it's a normal biological function when you can't even name women. You can't even define women. How in the hell can you talk about menstrual hygiene day? You don't even know what women are. What is a woman? You don't even know. And then when you click on the link, it takes you to some backrooms taxpayer-funded hellscape where you get this. To commemorate this menstrual hygiene day, the Women's Bureau, full stop. That sounds like hell. The Women's Bureau? They're unarmed, but they will nag you to death. The Women's Bureau is breaking down stereotypes and stigmas that have made menstruation a taboo topic in the workplace. Okay, full stop. Why are you talking about menstruation in the workplace to begin with? Have people worked remotely for so long that they have just utterly forgot how to behave in public and professional places? How does this, I mean, have they forgotten to wash themselves? How does this conversation even go? I provided a helpful script on Substack. You know, where Pam strides into the room and grabs a cup at the water cooler for water. Standing nearby is Debbie. Hey, Debbie, how are you doing today? Man, we've had a lot of calls. I'm doing okay. My vagina hurts because I'm bleeding, though. Like what, your period or something? Yes, I thought Wes Craven was filming a new horror movie down there, but I'm not sure. I wish we had government resource to explain to us how our stupid bodies work. Yeah, I don't know. Like, how does this go? I don't know why you need to have this conversation to make other people aware. And I'm going to say something that's not PC, but I have no other way to put it. There's no way that other people would know you have an issue unless you're like reeking of day-old sushi buffet. I have no idea how else to put it. You know I'm right, Kane. Stop it. You know I am. Department of Labor can't even define woman. Lady biz in the lady area is a biological function, but it doesn't make you a victim. I'm so tired of these people acting like anything that befalls women somehow further victimizes us. And that's what it is. Not everything has to be some kind of bizarre attribute of victimhood. Oh my gosh. She has the flow. Oh gosh, she's a victim. Shut up. Women throughout history have done this. Not menstruators, by the way, but women. You don't need to make this a thing with the Department of Labor. I feel weird that they're talking about it even. Like, I would be like, I'm quitting. This is weird. No. This is so bad. You know, I don't see guys, like, walking into the workplace talking about how big the deuce they had was last night. So I really don't need, you know.
Actually, that happens a lot.
Shut up.
I'm sorry to be honest with you, but it does.
We need to have deuce awareness. Like, do you need to be, but menstruation hygiene, like, do you, again, right? Unless it's like.
I mean, unless you're working for Tampax, this shouldn't be in a conversation at work.
Even then, just roll the cotton. You know what I'm saying? Just get it done. Nobody cares. I just can't.
Are we done with this yet?
No, we're not.
Why?
Because I'm mad. I'm mad that this keeps happening. I can't even believe that there's a day for it. There's a day for this. Like it's an ailment. A day. Shut up. You guys have too much damn time on your hands. We have a self-indulging society that is drowning in privilege. They don't know what hard work is. They sit on their asses and they doom scroll through their phones. I had this headline yesterday, how they spend like, what is it? How many days of their lives do they spend pretend shopping, fantasy shopping on their phones? Like there's a study done. Thousands of people were surveyed and they studied this. We live in such an indulgent society that it makes stuff like this possible. Everything is so great. You feel uncomfortable because it's so great. And then you're like, wow, I got to create more problems for myself. Guess I better vote Democrat and then think that, you know, a basic biological function is an attribute of victimhood. Stop. Stop making everything miserable. It's just horrible. I can't stand these people. It's so frustrating. Gosh, it has to be hard to be a chick, like a teenage girl nowadays and grow up with this stuff. It really does. So we apparently spent taxpayer dollars on this because it's a government site. So you know that's a taxpayer funded government site. But I just, you know, not everything is open for work discussion. I get that people like to overshare on social media. Stop it. Just stop it. Nobody cares. Nobody. Nobody wants to know about this stuff. You know, and by the way, you wouldn't need to provide these things for free, by the way, because they're like, oh, women can't afford this stuff. Oh, you know, not in this economy. Right. Maybe, I don't know, stop voting Democrat. I love the women who are like, I have a horrible taste in men. Can't wait to vote for the next man president. Vote for Biden. Like Taylor Swift, her entire album history is about how horrible she is at picking men. And so she backs Joe Biden. all the sense in the world. So if it wasn't for inflation, maybe, you know, maybe instead of like pandering to women like this, maybe just lower or abolish the income tax entirely. Stop spending our tax dollars like your Hunter Biden at his cocaine dealer's house. Stop it. Just a thought. So frustrating. Sorry, guys. I had to talk about this because it made me angry, and I saw it yesterday, and I wanted to share the burden like a village.
It's over. I mean, I grew up with the commercials where just mother and daughter walking on the beach.
You had no idea what they were doing.
Like a private conversation?
Yeah.
Why are we talking about this at work?
It was a joke because it was so vague.
Right.
Like, everyone was real polite about it. Now they're like, you know, are you bleeding to death every month? I mean, now it's like so in your face and crass. We get it, right? Be classy.
We need to go back to them.
You had no idea what they were selling you. They were walking on a beach. Nobody knew until the jokes were made, and then finally it became evident. And now I don't even think they do that anymore. I don't know. But the mother and daughter walking to them, did you ever get that not-so-fresh feeling? And I'm like, maybe you should get new deodorant. Like, I didn't know. Like, you know. All right, we got to get moving before Kane dies.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But I could come back to that at any point, just know. The threat's there. It's there. As we roll, we're all going to need ReadyWise for when his head explodes. Kane's going to die over here. It's going to be like a nuclear blast. ReadyWise is there for you. Whenever you need a delicious meal, ReadyWise is right there waiting to hold you in its delicious arms. That's took a weird turn, but you get the idea. So with ReadyWise, it's an American company. They provide just nice food. Like, this is food that you can trust. So if Joe Biden blows us all to hell, or if, you know, the economy crashes, or maybe you're just like, I always joke about this, but it's totally true. Maybe you just want to go on a hunting trip, but you don't want to live my grandpa's life. He would take cans of Spam and a gallon of unsweet tea that my grandma made him, Sun Tea, and he'd take that out, and that's what he subsisted on for days, and then he'd come back, and I'm like, that's just, you're crazy. Maybe you can use it for that trip, right? I mean, this is delicious protein, carb pack that you need for survival meals, 2,000 plus calories, 50 plus grams of protein per day, American grown, American packed, and American delivered. So you're supporting American jobs from start to finish. No refrigeration required, freeze dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25 year shelf life. They have an emergency 1 month supply, 2 bucket bundle, 36 pouches of delicious premium survival food. You will never have to worry about what you're going to feed yourself or your family when you have ReadyWise. So the time to prepare is now. Visit ReadyWise.com and use code Dana20 to save 20% off any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
You did that for a Hot Pocket?
Yes. Oh, that's for a Hot Pocket.
You broke into a bank for a Hot Pocket?
Hot Pocket.
Hot pocket. Was it worth it?
Hell yes, worth it. Yes, worth it. Hot Pocket? Hell yeah.
Listen.
That's Oh my gosh. That's got to be a commercial. I can't even deal. That's got to be a commercial. That's a real story. Dude broke into a bank to cook a Hot Pocket.
Yes.
So he was looking for a microwave. That man broke into a bank to cook a Hot Pocket.
I suspect that maybe he wasn't breaking into the bank for that reason. Because you could literally walk to a 7-Eleven and use their microwaves for free. But
this is in San Diego, by the way. It's a Wells Fargo bank.
Of all the excuses, though, to come up
Hot
with,
Pocket.
If you're caught breaking into a bank, I think this is number one.
Like, what are they going to do? Like, oh, yes, for a Hot Pocket? Yes, sir. You may go now.
Our bad.
I mean, it was 3:30 a.m. They went to the Wells Fargo, burglar alarm gone off. And but Kane, to his defense, the alarm company did tell the police that the cameras inside captured the man in the break room. He went right to the break room, used the microwave.
Huh, really?
Uh-huh.
Maybe there's something to his story then. I was just suspicious, that's all.
He didn't take no money. He legit broke into the bank. NBC7, he legit broke into the bank and went right to the break room and cooked up his Hot Pocket with their microwave.
And didn't have any money or nothing?
He said he was hungry and homeless. And so they had a half dozen San Diego PD there, and some had their guns drawn, and they stood at the entrance, told the guy to come out, and that's when the guy came out And it will, well, first he didn't want to come out. And then they said that they're going to send K-9 in if he doesn't come out. And then he came walking out of the bank, his hands behind his back. And I mean, I guess he got to eat his Hot Pocket because they never, you know, that's an important part of the story is, you know, if you're going to go to all that trouble breaking in the bank and cooking you up a Hot Pocket, like, do you get to eat said Hot Pocket before you leave? I mean, usually the inside's lava, like right around the outside, and it's cold and weird in the middle, but that's okay because you ate it anyway. And I don't know. It's all processed. It's probably filled with like microplastics and stuff. I don't know.
I think he had time to eat it before the cops showed up.
Hot Pocket. Yeah. I mean, it just, I don't know. I just, I love this story. It's so perfect.
I guess if I'm homeless and now I have a place to sleep.
But that's good to know, the 7-Eleven though.
Yeah. And I have a place to sleep now that I'm in jail.
Yeah. I mean.
I've got a cot.
You got three hots and a cot.
Right.
And I was going to add something else. I was going to say, you have three hots and a cot. I didn't say that.
Well, don't risk it by saying it right in the mic, even if it's muted.
It's muted, though. Like, see, it's muted.
Don't risk.
But you know what I mean. All right. So coming up in our second hour, because we still have more programming. You thought your ears bleeding yet? No, I'm kidding. We're angels. We are angels, and we are so, our behavior is beyond reproach. But we got a lot of stuff to hit. We're watching all this stuff with this, the jury deliberations. I got some culture. Pope Francis said a naughty word. We got a whole bunch of stuff. Stick with us. Goldco, they want to make it to where if everything goes sideways, you know, where the government's still spending all our monies and inflation's going through the roof, you can still have gold and silver as a hedge against inflation. You can get their free 2024 wealth protection kit and learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver as a listener of this program. Now, the free wealth protection kit's going to give you all the stuff you need to know, how to protect yourself in the face of inflation, war. I just think it's fun to have actual physical gold and silver, things that are valuable and not, you know, imaginary. And Goldco has helped people like you and me place over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. And that's one of their most unique qualities, their education first position. So they want to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. It's a very important part of your overall retirement saving strategy. No pressure approach. Dedicated transparency. Get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Goldco. Learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Having said that, I don't think Donald Trump ought to be singled out for a crime that no one else has been prosecuted for. And I was a gun prosecutor. We never prosecuted addicts for lying and buying on federal forms. So I don't think Hunter Biden ought to be singled out either. Go after him on taxes. Go after him on corruption. But I'd be curious how many people were prosecuted for being an addict in possession of a firearm. And I'll bet it's less than 10 in the last 12 months. I don't think people ought to be singled out because of their last name. Treat them like you would Hunter Smith, even though it's Hunter Biden.
So welcome back to the program. Dana last year with you, top of the second hour here on Thursday. And that was Trey Gowdy. And they were discussing a number of things. So there's a couple of topics in play there. You have the discussion of Hunter Biden's tax case, the second case that Hunter Biden is in, which was related to the felony gun charge for lying on his 4473. And they're using that. I understand what Trey Gowdy's saying here, but the premise is incorrect. And I'm going to explain that. And he's comparing it to the New York case with Trump and this misdemeanor that's passed potentially. I'm not even saying it's a misdemeanor. I don't even think it's a misdemeanor. But even if it were, it would be past the statute of limitations and how it's being elevated as a felony now. So, again, welcome. You can listen coast to coast terrestrially. You can stream. You can watch the simulcast, Channel 347 DirecTV as well. And you can find us all everywhere, X and Rumble and YouTube and all that good stuff. So his remark here, he is not wrong when he talks about the prosecutions for lying on a 4473 because there are a lot of federal prosecutors that there were a lot of, I would say, referrals for lying on a 4473 that they're referred to federal prosecutors and they're really never followed up on. I think in the last year that it was measured, the last available data is 2019 fiscal year. And that is, I think there were only like 248 referrals and of those even fewer prosecutions and of those even fewer convictions. Now, just because they don't prosecute them does not mean that I think that they should not be prosecuted or that, I mean, the law is the law. Whether or not you think that the background check system is constitutional is a separate discussion. In the context of this is what the law is, we're referring to how gun control advocates, they always want all this stuff. And yet, do you ever hear these people freaking out over the fact that here you have complete Democrat control of the federal government? And when it seems like whenever they control the federal government, I don't know, maybe it's just me, it just seems like federal prosecutions for stuff like this decline, particularly if it has to do with the president's son. Now, what Trey Gowdy is saying here is not that he thinks that it is not a crime. And I think that we have to read a little bit deeper between the lines on this. Everybody wants to have a knee-jerk reaction, and I don't necessarily think that that's the right one. What he's saying is that there are few prosecutions of this, and he's correct statistically. Does it make it less illegal according to law? No, it doesn't. But what he's pointing out is that typically in these cases, they never just singularly go after someone who committed a crime with the singular charge of you lied on your 4473. Usually, if there's a felony gun charge, it's always attached to a whole other slate of charges. If you look back at what, you know, federal prosecutors go after, there's always some sort of, it's always, you know, felony, like, you know, it's either drug distribution or it's, you know, murder, extortion. I mean, there's always a whole host of felonies that they then attach the firearms charges onto. It's never just he lied on a 4473, so we're going to prosecute that. Now, I do think that that does change depending on the prosecutor, because if you have overzealous prosecutors and they can make a statement out of it, then they will absolutely do so. I also think that there's a difference between an individual and then, of course, for instance, the businesses and maintenance of FFLs, their federal firearms license, because there have been FFLs that have, you know, over a grammatical error, that have been stripped of their licenses by the ATF, which has been highly weaponized and, by the way, has stripped more entities of their licenses just in the past several years than I think the entirety of the past decade. So there's something to be said for that. However, he's saying that Hunter Biden is being treated differently because his name's Biden in this particular case. And he's comparing it to the tax case in New York, which I think I think it's a bad argument that Gowdy's making. And I don't know if he's making it because he needs to fill airtime. I don't necessarily think that he's the best commentator. He's a good guest, but I don't think that he's a good commentator. And here's why. Because he's presupposing that, A, there was a misdemeanor that was committed in the New York case, which I don't think there was. I don't think it's illegal to pay. I don't think it's illegal to pay a whore to shut up. I don't. It's your money. You can do whatever you want with it. That's not a libertarian position. It's not a legal position. There is no law that says you can't do that. And if you think it's so bad and you're on the left, then where were you to silence the bimbo eruptions back with Hillary Clinton in the 90s? There you go. I mean, we can go on and on. That being said, it was, even if there was a misdemeanor that had been committed, which it was never established that there was, then it would also still be past the statute of limitations. So you couldn't even make it actionable. The only reason that they fudged everything was because they elevated it to a felony by accusing Trump of committing another crime in commission of this. And that increases this to a felony, which is why it can be tried with a jury, etc. It's all incredibly specious. It's super shaky. It's an unprecedented legal theory that's never been litigated. And I just don't think that with a president that's, you know, you test it out like this. It's so wild. That's why I think that this is a stupid analogy, because you, in order for this analogy to be true, you're presupposing that a misdemeanor actually happened. We know that this actually happened in Hunter Biden's case, which is why he's not denying it. That's very important to note. His legal team is not denying this. I mean, he admitted, first off, in his memoir that he was high as a kite for like a 3-month span. And that 3-month span that he writes in detail about how high he was, he also filled out the 4473 at the exact same time. And there's a question on that form that goes back and checks with the National Crime Information Center to see if you're a prohibited person, falls into a number of categories. And being a drug user, you have to say, are you using drugs? Are you addicted to drugs? Whatever. If you answer no to that and you are, then that's a felony. I mean, it's considered a felony. It's a federal statute. And so that by itself is a breaking the law. And so Hunter Biden already admitted this, which is why his legal team is making the argument that actually plays to a case that Amy Coney Barrett had previously presided over, which had to do with white collar crime, nonviolent white collar crime that was felony, and whether or not that was, that meant a dissolution of your natural right to bear arms. And so, and that was Cantor v. Barr, the Cantor v. Barr case that she made the decision on. And she believed, and it was very interesting, that there was no element of danger or threat there that necessitated the removal of someone's natural rights. That's the thing that Hunter Biden's attorneys are actually using in defense of him. So he's not even denying that he was high as a kite and purchased a firearm while he was high as a kite. They're not denying that he lied on his 4473 when he filled it out to go and buy a gun. They're saying, their argument is that, well, that doesn't preclude him from exercising his Second Amendment rights, because his Second Amendment rights are not subject to conditions. They're natural rights. That's literally what they're arguing, which is why they're citing Cantor v. Barr and why they're threatening to turn Democrats' entire gun control position on its head. So that's a stupid analogy for Trey Gowdy to make. And I don't dislike Gowdy. I've never met him. I just think that that's a bad analogy to make, because you presuppose that you're declaring that Trump is guilty when, and you're comparing it to a crime that Hunter Biden already admitted to. And that's why they're trying the argument that they're trying in court. I mean, we've already had numerous statements from his attorneys stating such. So one guy admitted to doing it and is saying, well, the law's wrong. The other guy's like, I didn't even commit a crime. And it's even past statute of limitations. So they're not even remotely the same thing. And I get that prosecutions singularly of violating federal law by lying on your 4473 isn't prosecuted. But that's like saying, well, you know, illegal immigrations, they're innocent when they come over. When people who are illegally immigrate to the country, they're innocent when they come over. They don't commit crimes, ignoring the fact that they just committed a crime by entering illegally the country. I mean, it's like the same formula. It's still a crime. The prosecution of the crime is not that, that's not the measure of law. Granted, it might weaken it, but it doesn't make it less illegal because it's not prosecuted as much. Does that make sense? So that was a weird, I don't get what he was, where he was going for there. And there was no pushback on it. I don't get where he was going for. All right. So a few other things to touch on as well, because we've been rolling down watching the jury's deliberating. They're deliberating. We're going to see what happens. I mean, I'm not, we'll see. I've got to share this story with you. This is, so you guys remember, this was about a year ago, the Ocean Gate incident, right? Where they took the little Titan sub down. And didn't they have like a PlayStation controller that they were using to control it? Yeah. So Ohio billionaire Larry Connor is going to take a $20 million sub down to the Titanic wreck to prove that the industry is safer after the Ocean Gate incident. Guys, how often must this be done?
Till they get it right?
How many subs are they going to send down there?
Till they don't die?
They sent a sub down to a wreck. The sub exploded. Now they're going to send another sub down.
Technically, it imploded.
Imploded. Yeah. You're right. Now they're going to send another sub down.
This is a good one, though. This is a good sub.
Is it? Are they going to have like a PS5 controller? Is that what they're going to have?
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I'm just curious about
iPad.
This. How in the, yeah, and an iPad. Like, how is this going to work? I'm curious. How will it work? I think I've seen this movie before. Would you get on that sub, King?
It does seem familiar. I don't think I would. I think I would send down, like, it unmanned first with just pressure checks.
Sub?
And yeah, just a camera and some pressure checks. And then take it to the depth that I'd want to go. And then measure what happened to it. And then bring it back up and then decide then if I'm going to go.
That sounds smart, but that's not what this guy's doing. He's also taking the CEO of the Triton submarines down with him.
What? But you'd agree that if you're a billionaire, you're not dumb, right? I mean, if you're a billionaire, you got to be smart in some aspect of life.
Maybe he thinks he's going to pay off death. I don't know. You would assume that.
So I would think that the safety protocols would have been bolstered, right, after that last Titanic visit. Like, they would have bolstered the safety protocols.
There is no way that you're going to send me down to the ocean's depths in this little motorized nugget. Not going to happen. and this metal tendy. It's not going to happen. That's what it is with the damn PlayStation controller. It's like what is that Wes Anderson movie with Bill Murray? I can't think of the name of it. I got to look it up. Life Aquatic. It's like a bad Life Aquatic. It's like a super bad, sad Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. Steve Zissou wouldn't even go down in that. No. I was going to say.
Hi, I'm Erica, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arn with a Constitution Minute.
James Madison writes in Federalist 51 that men are not angels. Their passions and self-interest often get the better of their reason and sense of justice. So we need government in order to protect our rights against those who would take them away. But for the same reason, Madison writes, government must be limited, because people in government have passions and interests too. Many Americans today forget this. Supposing that we can do away with constitutional limits on government, supposing that the unelected bureaucrats being put in charge of our health care, for example, will rule as if they are angels. If Madison was correct about human nature, this is foolish and dangerous.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This stupid article. They said having kids could shorten a man's life, according to a groundbreaking study. They don't want you to have kids. They want you to live alone, own nothing, eat cat food, and be in the desert. So they said it's some study that as men age into older adulthood, they look at cardiovascular health. A lot of it's diet, exercise, etc. But they said that the added responsibilities and stresses that come from parenthood make it challenging for that. Shut up. By the way, this same survey says that a quarter of adults don't know how to ride a bike and 28% can't swim. What the hell's wrong with people? Learn. What's up? How did you not do this? Also, vote fever can trigger an Ebola-like bleeding virus. What? It's a thing. Vole fever. What is this? Vole? What is this?
The new fear-mongering.
They said it's a thing that can trigger Ebola-like bleeding, and it's spreading in parts of Europe. And it says rodents in Sweden are carrying a pathogen that can jump into humans and turn into you can hemorrhage to death. It's a fever. Cases of illness. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Never mind. I don't care unless people's heads start falling off when I'm at, you know, Kroger. I ain't gonna get all freaked out. Why did they pick a picture of like the cutest mouse possible? When that's not how that's not what they look like in nature. They're all ratty looking and nasty. This is somebody's pet that they put on a log. Like, look at this cute little mouse. That's not what they look like. Shut up. Bidenomics, they want you to believe that it's insurance and property taxes that are driving foreclosures as opposed to the cost of literally everything else. So they're trying to say that Texas and Florida, you know, homeowners there, it's just because, you know, property taxes or insurance costs. It's not what it is. It's because everything else is expensive. This is a Bloomberg piece. So go figure. High-paying remote work jobs are fading fast. Oh, people who want to work from home. This is what I was telling you. This is why they have menstruation hygiene discussions at work, because people don't know how to behave properly in public anymore. High-paying remote work jobs are fading fast, according to the study. They said they also don't have really the same type of career advancement that as people who work in the office do. But they found that high-paying remote jobs fell 60%. Hybrid job availability fell 95%. People are tired. I think they need people back in the office place is really what it is. So coming up, the Pope said a naughty word, and tensions mount as IDF is in Rafah. Stick with us. It's our partners over at Patriot Mobile. They help bring you free conservative radio, and they have just the best nationwide plans, the best nationwide coverage, the best plans as well. There's something for everybody with Patriot Mobile, and you're going to find an affordable plan that covers everything that you need. And when you switch, your money is not going towards the far left DEI, anti-gun, anti-life, anti-speech policies that these other phone companies that they support hand over fist. It's publicly available at Open Secrets. You can see what they're donating your hard-earned dollars to. So if you haven't switched to Patriot Mobile, you're financially supporting all of that much more than you ever would with like a Netflix subscription or something to that effect. So when you switch, it's really easy. You talk to a member of their 100% U.S.-based customer service team, so you're also helping to maintain U.S.-based jobs. You can keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is yours, and get free activation using code Dana. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get that free activation. Make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I promised we'd start to reconnect black and brown and overlooked neighborhoods cut off by highways in the 60s and decades of disinvestment as a consequence of it, including here in Philly. Well, we're changed that with the Recovery Act with the right now, you see all the construction going on the highways around here.
What the hell happened to him? He just, like, in mid-sentence, wanders off. Welcome back to the program. It's Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this second hour. Yeah, he just craters right in the middle of his remarks. Do you know what he's talking about, Kane?
But I know that it was on his teleprompter.
How do you mess up when it's on the prompter?
Right. That much I know.
But it got better, because it did. And maybe. let's try audio. Maybe audio soundbite 5. Maybe that. Let's see.
And it's too easy to be a wasted asset if we didn't. But I want to prove to everybody, not a damn thing that a white man can do that a black man can't do or do better. I mean, it's sincere. It's important to get it done. You go down the list of all.
Why are you still talking like this to people? Who sits there and looks at, you know, different, very, I mean, voters of color, different demographics, and says this stuff? Does I hear him say this? And I watched that video. That video was so cringe. It just feels so racist. He's racist.
He's on the Panda Express and he can't get off.
It's so bad. And then, wait a minute, audio soundbite 4. Listen to this. It just gets crazier.
What do you think he would have done on January 6th if black Americans had stormed it? Think about this.
Oh my gosh.
What do you think would have happened if black Americans had stormed the Capitol? I don't think he'd be talking about pardons. It's the same guy who wanted to tear gas you as you peacefully protested George Floyd's murder. The same guy who still calls the Central Park Five.
Okay, so that just assumes that they were all white. Maybe the majority of them were, but I don't even know if that's the guy. I don't know. I mean, I didn't sit there. I don't think like a progressive. I don't sit here and go, let's only see race. That's how progressives think. They only want to see race, everything through race. I don't know how you live like that. But furthermore, what about the BLM stuff that happened in cities across the country for 2 summers in a row? Ferguson burned. Towns in Tennessee and Kentucky. And hell, they tried setting a fire. Rioters tried setting a fire to a church in D.C. There weren't really any arrests or anything. And that was far more damage and far more dangerous. There were fatalities from that. And that was under Trump's term. I didn't see any, you know, National Guard, State Police, any of that stuff coming out. Did you, Kane?
No.
So what is he talking about?
Great question.
I mean, there was a white woman who was shot and killed by a black police officer in D.C. for January 6th.
Yeah.
He kind of glosses over that if you want to have a conversation about race. I mean, there literally was a SWAT team behind her. And this Capitol Police officer still thought, I'm just going to go ahead and fire at her. I don't care what's behind the target at all. Just like the first rule, just shoots her dead on camera if you wanted to have that conversation about race. But I don't, it's pandering. It's such pandering. And it seems so racist every time he does this stuff. It's embarrassing. Oh my gosh, this gets worse. Audio soundbite, just give me a little bit of 7, although I think most of this is yelling.
They're trying to erase black history. We're going to write black history because it's American history.
Okay. I literally don't know
Wasn't he, again, he was the pro-segregation president.
Yes.
Kane also found video of him dropping the N-word.
Yeah.
You did. Once or twice.
Yeah, he's done it once at least.
It has to be censored before we can even play it. Yeah, but yeah, we heard it. We played it on break, and it was... He said it.
He sure did.
Speaking of people saying stuff, can we talk? Hang on, I got to talk about this Pope thing. So, Pope Francis, this is The Guardian. It's a British paper. Pope Francis allegedly used offensive slur during discussion about gay men. Bishops say the pontiff made the remark during a closed-door debate on admitting homosexual men into seminaries. Really? He said he's 87. And apparently, according to the article, it was a remark he made during a closed-door meeting with bishops in Rome last week, where they were reportedly discussing whether gay men should be admitted into Catholic seminaries where priests are trained, a topic that the Italian Bishops' Conference is said to have been pondering for some time. Can I say it in Italian?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. Does that count?
I mean, it's what he said. It's news.
Yeah, but it's... So he used the word...
That they use for cigarettes in the UK?
What? Yeah. I mean, he called them... It rhymes with dags.
It's a mystery.
That's what he said. The Italian... Can I say the Italian? Because he said it in Italian.
He did.
But he was saying... Well, this is how I have it on my rundown. Quote, there's too many daggets. That's what he said. It's a vulgar Italian word that roughly translates to daggetness. That's what the article says. And of course, I'm saying the D, not the F. Because yeah. We'll get in trouble. So they said that the unnamed bishops they said the pontiff meant the derogatory term as a joke. And some were surprised and perplexed by the alleged slur. He might not have been aware that the term was offensive. Wait, you're more offended over that than the possibility of what he just said? Wait a minute, hold up. By the way, the photo that Juan selected of this is just chef's kiss. Let me just point that out for a moment.
What is he doing?
He said that, because the Pope said that he said being gay is a fashion and the clergy is susceptible. And all this stuff. So they're mad that he's called them a bunch of dags, but they're not mad that they're being admitted. The bishops who got butt hurt over it, pun intended, right? I don't know. It's Frociagni.
Is that how it's pronounced?
Frociagni is apparently what it is. That's for news purposes. Anyway. But he said that the article says, during the discussion, when one of the bishops asked Francis what he should do, the Pope reportedly reiterated his objection to admitting gay men, saying that while it was important to embrace everyone, it was likely that a gay person could risk leading a double life. And then he is alleged to have added that there was already too much of the Frociagni, a vulgar Italian word that roughly translates daggetness in some seminaries. So he said that there's too many of them. In the seminaries, is what he said. And some of the actual bishops were like, that sounds like a slur. I'm perplexed. You're perplexed that he said the word, but you're not perplexed that he had to because it exists? Where are you at? Right? Someone's like, the pontiff may not have been aware the term was offensive. I'm pretty sure he probably was. I don't know. They said it's just the Roman Catholic Church's position is that homosexual acts are sinful. The decree on training for priests in 2016, blah, blah, blah. I just think it's funny that they're acting like there are people acting like it's. I can't believe he used that word. Well, I can't believe that there's apparently too much daggetness in the seminaries. I mean, I'm more shocked over that than the word he used. Right. I mean, not shocked, but you know what I mean. Right. Come on. So I wish he wasn't so bad on so many other things. Because I feel like this is a Fetterman moment he kind of had, right? Because on the other stuff, he's just not so great on, I got to say. Not so great on. So in addition to this, Taylor Swift's fans, the Swifties, want her to speak out. Oh my gosh, guys. They need her to speak out on Gaza. Why? You might be asking. I don't know, but they're demanding it. So their social media fans have launched a full-on thing to persuade her to chime in on the war between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. And they have a hashtag, Swifties for Palestine. And they're demanding that this expert on Middle Eastern policy speak out. Actually, why? I mean, just stop trying to make people speak out on this stuff. Validate us. We need to borrow your influence. Validate us. That's what this is. That's all it is. They had, who was it, Cate Blanchett on the red carpet at Cannes Film Festival, which apparently is just, why were there so many damn Z-listers on that red carpet? I used to like watching red carpet fashion and the arrivals of stuff. Like when you still had old Hollywood people alive. I feel like I was born in the wrong era. But now it's just all trash. Everybody just is trashy looking. And they just, they're like people who, I'm like, why are you here? You're only famous for being a clothes horse. Why are you here? And apparently Cate Blanchett was on the red carpet. And she had the Gazan flag as like the back part of her dress. So I don't know. Everybody's got to make a stance. It's about branding. People want to make this political knee bending a brand. That's what it is. This genuflection. They want to make it a brand. But Swifties are demanding that she speak out. Didn't you know her? She had a video of her. I guess security. Her detail that went viral like a couple of months ago. She was performing at a concert and she was coming off stage and her security detail was there and it showed how hyper aware he was of everything and it went viral and people were applauding him. Turns out he was a member of Mossad. He was an IDF and he left her concert this was like right before this video came out, right after October 7th, because he had left to go fight. He left after the October 7th terrorist attack to go fight. So it's like she was protected this entire time by somebody in the IDF. So you're going to have her speak out against it now because she sure as hell didn't have anybody from Gaza watching her back. Shut up. So dumb. You need to be drinking actual good coffee and save yourself money because you're drinking good coffee. Bad coffee gets wasted. Bad coffee doesn't get brewed. And with Black Rifle Coffee, you're getting a veteran-owned, veteran-run effort into the best roasted coffee beans you could ever possibly get your hands on. They get the best beans and they roast them 5 days a week in Tennessee and Utah. And everything that they do, from like the roast to the bag art, everything pays homage to American culture and military history. Every bag roasted in the US of A, you got ground, whole bean, K-cups, ready to drink, all that good stuff. You also have apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, everything you need for the perfect cup of coffee. And they just have the best coffee that is out there. I've been for like a month, over a month now, into Tactus Squatch. But I'm starting to like slide into some other roasts. I'll let you know what my new favorites are as I do so. But their roaster, it's just the best coffee that you can get. It's never bitter. It's never over roasted. And it's always delicious. And you can join their coffee club and you choose whatever roast you want, however often you want it delivered. And it shows up with free shipping on your front porch. And it's going to be more affordable than the bougie coffee that you want to buy at the grocery store. I'm just saying, you get free shipping. You never run out of coffee with the coffee club. Try it for yourself at blackriflecoffee.com. Order today and get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So a Florida man who was wanted was found with drugs after getting lost in the woods, and he had to call the deputies for help. Okay. So Branford, Florida, a Florida man got lost in the woods, but he had a warrant out for his arrest, and he had to call rescuers for help. Deputies with the Suwannee County Sheriff's Office say James Lombardi, 43. This guy's 43? No way. No way is this guy 43. You are kidding me. No way.
He's had a rough life.
This guy looks like he's 70. This guy does not look 43 years old. Somebody's lying. Juan just threw that up on the screen, on the simulcast screen for y'all. That dude, don't, he does not 43? Look 43 years old.
No way.
43. 43.
If I was at the carnival, guess
Kaney ages. Looks like he would be your dad.
Yeah. If I was guessing ages, I'd get this wrong.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I know there's more to the story, but holy cow. All right, so this guy got lost in the woods. He called for help Saturday morning. The sheriff's office came out. They found him in an hour, brought him back to the boat park. And then they were like, you got an active arrest warrant out because you violated your probation. And then they found drugs on him, and he had all kinds of stuff, meth, glass pipe, glass vial, all kinds. So he got charged with a bunch of things, including meth and drug stuff. So he went back to the pokey. There you go. Florida men are accused of stealing 150 gallons of used cooking oil from restaurants. Please tell me what this is for. Why do people do this?
Biodiesel. Back in the day, you can actually turn used cooking oil into a biofuel, into a diesel fuel with the proper little, you know.
Are you telling me that this is what these criminals are doing?
Yeah. I mean, there's not much you can really use used cooking oil for.
So these two dudes, South Florida, they were arrested in St. Petersburg, were accused of stealing 150 gallons of used cooking oil. Wilmer Durand and Julio Ona, 49 and 53, charged with burglary. They said it was well planned. Now, state law says restaurants have to dispose of their used cooking oil after frying food, but apparently this Metro diner just put it in a tank outside. Third party comes and picks it up. Usually the areas are fenced and locked, but apparently I guess this isn't. And witnesses watched them do it, and they also stole from a Cracker Barrel. Isn't it a lot of work, though, to do that?
Yeah, and by the way, it wasn't even illegal to do that like 5 to 10 years ago. Like most restaurants were like, yeah, we just need to get rid of it, and it was costing them to get rid of it. And so people were like, well, we'll take it. And so it became a thing, and now everyone's protecting their used cooking oil, and I don't get it.
I don't get it either. They said it was theft, and it is. They said 55% of Darling Ingredients, they own the tank at the Metro Diner. They said 55% of theirs produces renewable diesel. And it's a valuable commodity, so I cannot believe that's a thing. Wow. Huh. Anyway, they got in trouble, totally arrested. This Palm Beach Post, a man facing life in prison for sexually exploiting two teenage girls, begged for a judge to sentence him to a decade instead. And he said he's a 26-year-old child in a man's body. I think this guy should be put to death, personally. Really? No, the problem isn't that you're a child in a man's body, which is a gross thing and doesn't exist. It's that you're breathing. The problem is that you're breathing. This guy shouldn't be alive. But apparently he exploited, one of the girls was 13 years old. And he's a bad guy. Bad, bad, bad guy. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Why is he breathing? Florida man was arrested for abandoning three kids on an island. Oh, okay. There you go. Satellite Beach Police Department said they got a 911 call from a 51-year-old who said he lost contact with three kids who were supposed to be in his care. 9, 10, and 11. He and his companion left the kids while they went to get more camping supplies. And then they were both found, Kayla Campbell and Leonard Nile were both found intoxicated. Police couldn't get a coherent statement from either of them. A Good Samaritan located the kids. They heard them screaming for help, brought them to safety. They were alone on the island for 4 hours without food or supplies. And the adults were doing coke and smoking marijuana. They got taken into jail custody on charges of child neglect. Golly. We got more in store. Third hour on the way. Stick with us.
Hello, everybody. My name is Lena Mayen. Today, I have the distinct honor of being here at the launch of Black Voters for Harris Biden with our president and vice president.
Harris Biden? Okay, I don't really think that's how that goes. Anyway, welcome. Anyway, here's Wonderwall. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you, top of this third hour. There's an anatomy of the smear. We've got some stuff. So they're coming out. They're trying to say that Trump used the N-word. Mm-hmm. Yep. From the first season of The Apprentice. Yep. Yep, he did. The N-word. That's what they're saying.
So this is on a TV set, for a TV show.
A set where there's television.
Cameras, microphones.
Yeah, the broadcast stuff.
So they would probably have proof then, right? They'd have some sort of video or audio evidence of this.
Surely it would have come out in 2016, you know. the statement that they have is, no one is surprised that Donald Trump, who entered public life by falsely accusing black men of murder. What? I'm sorry, Al Sharpton, what? And entered political life spreading lies about the first black president. Hillary Clinton hiring the lawyer who pushed the birtherism said what? That was literally Hillary's op. Reportedly used the N-word to casually denigrate a successful black man. Anyone notice a pattern? I don't know why I'm reading it like this. It's just more entertaining. Donald Trump is exactly who black... Golly, they are so desperate. Donald Trump is exactly who black voters know him to be. A textbook racist who blah, blah, blah. That's the whole statement.
They put that word reportedly in there to protect themselves legally.
They've been hemorrhaging black voters. And I've noted, I noted this during the election. In fact, I talked about this election night in 2016. When I was in New York with Fox, I talked about it in 2020. The number of black voters that have been moving towards the Republican Party has been increasing steadily. It even began, I would say, pre-2016. But it was so small that it seemed insignificant at the time. But now, after 2020, when you saw such a significant number of black voters move to the right, now you look back at like the midterm elections in 2018 and you're like, was it insignificant? I don't know. You know, you're just like, maybe it wasn't insignificant. Or not 2018, sorry, 2012. Mitt Romney picked up some, but not a lot. McCain picked up only a little bit, not a lot. Trump picked up a significant percentage. And black voters are still, they've still been leaning over and going towards the Republican Party, or at least conservative-leaning independents. And this is freaking out Democrats. So instead of Democrats going and talking like normal people, they're like aliens. What the hell? They have no idea how to talk to voters. It's a black voter. I can't talk to them about things like lower taxes and more business opportunity. I guess I better talk to them about race. That's all they do. That's how Democrats look at stuff. Oh my gosh, there's a woman who votes. I can't talk to her about lower taxes and, you know, all of this good stuff. I got to talk to her about vaginas and abortions. Audio soundbite two, case in point. They sound so damn awkward when they do it. Listen to this. This is crazy.
On Memorial Day, I proudly stood with a black man.
All right. Okay. Okay. He's so weird. This is what Democrats do, right? They freak out over all of this. Keep in mind, this is the party, guys. Just in the past month, what have you seen? Well, you got one Democrat who used the N-word slur. You got Eric Adams who said, yeah, we need to send these illegal immigrants up to New York. They can work as lifeguards since they're so good at swimming. He said that on camera. You have Kathy Hochul who's like, yeah, black kids in the Bronx, they've never even seen a computer.
They don't even know what the word is.
They don't even know what the word is. Computer, what? This is what Democrats say. Nadler, oh yeah, we need Mexicans to come up and pick our fruit. And Pelosi, too. This is what Democrats say. And then they're like, oh, but Trump said the N-word. And he said it on a set with a butt ton of cameras and all kinds of recording equipment. But we just don't have any like proof of it. So it's reportedly. Because they're hemorrhaging black votes. And so they got to try to scare Jim Crow some up. That's what they're trying to do. That's what it is. It's so damn racist. Somebody cover the spots on the back of that man's head, too. Whenever he turns around, when Joe Biden turns around, I'm like, Jiminy Christmas.
You can kind of see where the mask starts.
It's like Mr. Burns. Anyway, it is so incredibly racist to use this. And they have no other way of talking to black voters. Normal politicians would be talking to all demographics about the issues that they're concerned over the most. Not Democrats, because they see everything through a race. Black people get talked about black people's stuff. Women get talked about women people's stuff. Hispanics get talked to about Hispanic people's stuff. You know, everybody has the same concerns. Everybody's broke. We're worried about inflation. We're worried about jobs. We're worried about national security. We're worried about taxes that you keep raising. We're worrying about damn government spending that you keep doing. Oh, but no, heaven forbid we talk about those issues. Nope, that's a black voter, racity race. Trump's going to come and kill you. he's a big old racist and blah, blah, blah. Oh, you're a woman. Vagina, vagina. Abortion, abortion. Trump's going to come steal all your abortions. Oh, you're a Hispanic voter. Trump's going to put crocodiles in the Rio. Oh, my goodness. He's going to come and take all your talk. I mean, like, what in the world? This is the kind of stuff. That's what Democrats do. It's so racist. It is so racist. Aren't people tired of this? I mean, that's, they are so freaked out. This is so bad. Who's running this campaign? But Kane, you noted they're all saying it now. Who else is saying it? You got Harris, Biden. Yeah.
You got Bakari Sellers is out there. Eric Swalwell was out there saying it. It's like today was the day they chose, mm-hmm. and the memo went out that, hey, we got to put out that thing that Trump said the N-word. When, by the way, like you mentioned, 7 years later, they still haven't produced a tape or any sort of evidence.
That's weird. Lorraine reminds me, do you remember when Mr. Roseanne Barr, Tom Arnold.
Yeah, I remember.
That feckless meat sack. When he claimed that I've got tapes from The Apprentice. Donald Trump said the N-word and then he never actually produced them. Right. I'd forgotten about that.
I think that's what actually started the whole snowballing of the news stories after that.
Yeah, he was like, oh, I got him. I can't actually produce anything because I don't got it, but you know.
Well, there's an editor on that show that was not a Trump fan, by the way, and even claims that there were no Trump fans on the set, that he watched frame by frame all the gag reels, all the everything, and that would have spread like wildfire then because nobody were fans of Trump at the time. So he knows, and they know, that there is no such evidence.
We can't play the video of Biden saying it though, right? Because get in trouble.
Because we will get in trouble.
Even though the president said it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The president literally said the N-word. Yeah, it's on tape and we have it. Yeah. Not Trump, Biden. Yep. Are you sure I can't play it?
Yeah. Yes.
No, I mean, like, can we just take out.
You could just tell people that it exists online.
Yeah, but they're not going to believe us. I don't want to be like Tom Arnold.
No, it's online. Like, Tom Arnold.
Okay, it is online. You can literally Google it and it comes right up.
Yeah, it comes right
still,
up.
Still, there's some people who are driving trucks right now. They can't Google it. No, they're like, sure, Dana, really? Are you going to Tom Arnold us?
They sure can't.
See? I'm thinking of them. I don't want them out Googling
you
stuff.
Are thoughtful. I never accused you
super
of
thoughtful.
Being
you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm all about thinking for everybody. Right. Thinking of the people. That's what I'm doing. Yeah, I it's just wow. It's amazing. And because Biden said a lot of stuff. But
you
this is,
black.
So you've had Swalwell put this out. Who else? I'm looking at, there's a lot of people who put this stuff out.
All right, so I first saw it this morning with Bakari Sellers, and mm-hmm. then he got ratioed into oblivion. And Eric Swalwell put it out. Then the Biden-Harris headquarters, campaign headquarters, put it out.
Yeah.
So the, the marching orders have been put out.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's their new narrative. They're going to really run with us. They're going to really, really run with us. Except it doesn't exist, though. I can't believe this is so stupid. I got more stuff I got to hit, though. But I have to tell you, that's the new narrative that's being crafted right now. Just to let you guys know, as the jury's deliberating, they're trying to do everything that they can right now, guys. Everything they can. Everything possible. But I just don't know if that's going to, I don't know if that's going to be enough to work for them. I just don't know. But we'll keep, and if that, you know, I mean, they tried this in 2016, tried it again in 2020. They've never came out with anything.
Nope.
Mm-mm. In the meantime, they're still waiting for the jury deliberation. I think that there's probably going to be a conviction just because I think they tipped the scales with how the jury was instructed. And so we'll see. But we'll keep tabs on it. Now, this, a week ago, you're going to get really mad, Kane. So a week ago, we talked about Biden releasing 1 million barrels of oil from the strategic reserve, right? We go through about 8 million a day as a country. And he wanted to lower gas prices, and it didn't work. So guess what? He's going to release another 1 million ahead of 4th of July.
So the first 1 million didn't work.
Didn't
work. So you're going to repeat what didn't work.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. The first thing didn't work, so they're going to do what didn't work again. Yeah, and that's going to, he tweeted this. He said, quote, gas prices are down from $1.40 after their peak from their peak after Russia's war, but they're still too high. My administration is releasing 1 million barrels of gasoline from the Northeast Gasoline Supply Reserve ahead of July 4th, which is going to lower prices at the pump when folks need it the most.
A million barrels does not lower anything at the pump.
It doesn't. And why are gas prices still high, Mr. President? Exactly.
It's because Trump said the N-word.
Because Trump said the N-word or didn't say it. He reportedly said it. He didn't say the N-word. Can you believe it?
Do people realize our strategic petroleum reserve is at the lowest levels it's been in decades? We're talking 40
plus
years.
Trump may have said the N-word.
Right, but our emergency supply of petroleum is at the lowest levels it's been in 40-plus years.
Yep. Yeah, but that N-word, though, Trump is said to have said it.
Right.
But they didn't. There's no video.
Oh.
They weren't able to produce it, but that's what happened. So you could talk about
of the two issues,
the oil and gas.
Yeah, of the oil and gas issue, and then Trump.
But are you going to vote for somebody who's going to steal all your abortions?
What?
Yeah. That's a reality.
I didn't hear
You're never going to vote again, and he's going to steal your abortions.
I didn't hear about that one.
Yeah. And he said the N-word, maybe, reportedly or not. It's facts. If I sounded like that all the time, a Democrat would hire me. You know it's true. We got more on the way. Heaven help us all.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Damn you, Kane, and your memes. I'm so distracted now. I just want to talk about the memes. Okay.
Quick Five.
Oh, my gosh. Really? I got to go to this? Headline, I ate my nan. A sister shockingly reveals that she put her grandmother's ashes in pasta sauce to prank her brother.
Is a prank?
It's an Australian show. Australian. And they were eating pasta. Pasta. And the host of this Australian radio show, I can't do an accent. They were left horrified after a woman called into their program claiming she fed her grandmother's ashes to her brother as a prank game. She said they were grieving, so blah, blah, blah. She said that she thought it was going to be a joke and it was just so disgusting. So it was, yeah. She fed her nan to her. Oh, golly.
That's person pesto.
That's person pesto.
Oh,
wow. That's your growth. Rely on AI, they said. It improves the quality of life, they said. Innocent woman branded a thief by AI recognition software falsely. She's innocent. And so, yeah, see, this is my problem. Okay, isn't this just like red light cameras, how red light cameras are unconstitutional? Wouldn't the AI recognition software be unconstitutional as well? But end of. Next. Here you go. A man who broke into Buckingham Palace claimed that he just wanted somewhere to wee. What? How do you break in there? This guy who's got a lot of consonants in his name climbed over the gates and managed to reach the courtyard. Security system went off. He said it took them 4 minutes to arrive. And he hadn't realized he was the only that he where he was. And he was just looking for somewhere to urinate. But then they seized his phone and saw he had been looking online. And at Buckingham Palace. So, yeah, that doesn't seem like that story held water. Moving on. This is so bad. Let's see this. An alleged naked run on Virgin flight from Perth to Melbourne leads... What is going on, Australia? Your people. The Australian Federal Police say officers arrested a man after he allegedly ran naked through the aircraft. Mid-flight, knocked a crew member to the floor. Ew, nasty. They don't say how old he was. Ugh. But they said the safety of our guests and crew is our top priority. And then they had to ground the flight. And then Spirit Airlines, a pilot on the flight to Fort Lauderdale, told passengers to prepare for a possible water landing. My first thought isn't that the plane's landed in the water and it's kind of a crash. It's sharks. You're in the shark's house. All right, we got a lot more on the way, including the anatomy of a smear, the latest smear, and who is the real racist? Real talk. Stick with us.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Putting down hospitals and the rest of it. So they don't want them to see that contrast, so they focus on something else. and it's a diversionary tactic. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You demonize, and then we call it the wrap-up smear. If you want to talk politics, you call it the wrap-up smear. You smear somebody with falsehoods and all the rest, and then you merchandise it. And then you write it, and they'll say, see, it's reported in the press that this, 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 and this. So they have that validation that the press reported the smear, and then it's called the wrap-up smear. Now I'm going to merchandise the press's report on the smear that we made. And it's a tactic.
It's what
and
we
it's self-evident.
It's what she said. It's what we do. It's what we do. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lashier with you. That's Nancy Pelosi. And that's what they're doing right now with this insanity. By the way, we found the Apprentice tape.
We did?
We did.
Wow.
You want to hear it? We had to censor it. Juan got it censored.
Let's
hear it. Go ahead. Here's the Apprentice tape.
Legislators in defeating the Nunes plan in the basement said, quote, we already have a mayor. We don't need any more big shots.
I feel like he could have not said that word.
Sound like Trump at all.
Oh, wait, that wasn't Trump, was it? Didn't really look like him, did it?
No.
Didn't have the comb over? That didn't look like Trump. Oh. Wait a minute here. I was told that there was a tape that existed and that was it. I was told reliably.
Well, in this day and age of AI, you know, AI voice, you know, replication.
Oh, I can't wait for that. Hello, I am Donald Trump, and... Here's what I have
good.
To say AI, from The Apprentice.
AI voice replication is actually pretty good. So I'm sure we'll see some of those too.
But you know it's fake though.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bunch of other racist stuff that they've all said. There's a whole video. I put it in. We can't play it because it's not censored. But there's, you know, Joe Biden when he was talking about, I can't even get into it because it's so bad. Remember when he was talking about Indian Americans, like not Native American, but like from India, owning gas stations?
Right.
He'd said that. There's all kinds of stuff that he has said that they have on video that you hear it and you're just like, what? Are you, what? What? If there was evidence of Trump doing this, it would have been out there forever. I mean, for crying out loud, they got the grabber by the, meow, they got that, you know? They would have this. You got to grab them by... And I don't know. It's all so stupid. Everything's so dumb. If it really existed, they would have it. But they don't have it. And I can't... They did this. I want to remind you all. Do you remember back during the Tea Party days? 2010. And it is when members of the House, led by Speaker Nancy Pelosi... were going to go into the House chamber, and they were going to do the final procedural vote. It was all a formality at this point, and pass the health care bill. And she was walking to the House chamber with a giant Acme gavel, and it was all such theater because there are tunnels that run underneath the Capitol. You don't have to walk outside. In fact, they have those tunnels explicitly for the safety and that of the House and Senate members. I've been in the tunnels. They are there. They run from where all of the House members' offices are all the way into the Capitol building. You never have to go outside. I've walked them. But they purposefully wanted to walk outside because there were tons of Tea Partiers that were outside peacefully protesting. And there was one moment when Nancy Pelosi was walking and you had, who's the guy from KC, the rep in the KC area, Samuel, I can't remember his name anymore. But him, you had Jesse Jackson Jr. and several other far left lawmakers who were following Nancy Pelosi into the House with her giant Acme gavel. And they purposefully walked outside because they wanted video footage of a conflict. They were trying to bait people into conflict purposely. And so they walked outside and they walked right through the crowd. Now, that's not even advisable to do by Capitol Police or anybody else, that they did it on purpose. And everyone was very peaceful. Of course, they were protesting and they were yelling. And there were tons of phones everywhere. And there was one part where they were walking up the steps at one portion of the Capitol to get inside. And there, you could see phones outstretched everywhere. People walk inside, and that was it. Well, anyway, later, they came up with this story after they passed the health care bill where they said that the Tea Partiers outside, and it particularly at that moment, according to Jesse Jackson Jr., were calling them the N-word. And it went from a bunch of them were calling them the N-word to then nobody was. I was working with Andrew Breitbart at the time. And Andrew was like, I'll give $10,000 to anyone who can give me video footage of this slur. Because there were phones everywhere. I mean, right as they walked by, supposedly when it was said, there are no fewer than like 7 or 8 phones right there. It would have picked up anything. And there was no, it never picked, they got all of the footage. Andrew got all of the footage. Every bit of cell phone footage. He somehow got in contact with all of the people whose phones were in that video, the original video shot. He got all their footage. Not a single slur was heard. Jesse Jackson Jr. even had his own phone out and was recording everyone as he went up the stairs. And he refused to turn over his phone footage. He refused to produce it or publish it. And it was weird because you would think that he would want to do so. He and John Lewis and so many others. Who was this other rep?
Was it Emmanuel Cleaver?
Emmanuel Cleaver. Thank you. Emmanuel Cleaver. It's Emmanuel Cleaver. It was him. It was Emmanuel Cleaver, John Lewis, Jesse Jackson Jr., and there was someone else. They all insisted. It was particularly Cleaver and Jesse Jackson Jr. that were insisting somebody said the N-word. They were calling them the N-word. And Jesse Jackson Jr. had his own phone out. You can see in the video clip that is all over the internet, he had his own phone out. So Andrew got all of the video footage. Jesse Jackson Jr. was not going to give his video footage up. There is nothing like that. People were just saying, shame on you and kill the bill. And that's all they were saying. No one said anything of the sort. So you had these elected officials who were impugning the characters and motives and smearing, accusing them of a sin, making an idol of race, accusing them, sinfully accusing somebody else falsely of a sin, bearing false witness. They themselves were making idols out of race, multiple sins being committed. And there was never any apology, never anything. It was the anatomy of a smear. They tried that so many times. And that was when they were really trying to push it. The Tea Partiers didn't give them what they wanted. They were hoping for a confrontation, for conflict. And that never happened. Everything that they accused the Tea Party of ever doing, they themselves did. Whether it was with Occupy Wall Street, whether it was with the Black Bloc stuff, whether it was with BLM, any of it. They've always done it themselves. And there's never been, all of that video footage was published, and there was a lot of it. And there's no slurs at all in any of it. Just people saying, shame on you, kill the bill, privatize healthcare, things like that. And they purposely did that. And when they didn't get the reaction they wanted from these peaceful people, they made it up. When they didn't get the reaction they wanted, they just made it up. How heinous is that? That you have some people who are so soulless in positions of power, elected positions of power, that if they can't bait you into acting as egregiously as they do, they'll just make it up about you. And the press runs with it. Just like they're running with it now. With this whole stupid, well, you said the N-word in The Apprentice. Good grief. This is so dumb. We've been down this road before. And I'll add, again, this was before 2016 when this supposedly happened. You're telling me it didn't come out? Come on. I don't believe that for a second, do you? Nope. You guys know that if it existed, and as Lorraine reminded, Tom Arnold was saying it. You guys know that they would have had that. It would have been plastered everywhere. That audio would have been everywhere, just like Grabber by the was. That's all they had. Lorraine found that Joe Biden audio. If you want to throw that up, Kame. It's a little muffled, but you can hear what he says. Joe Biden goes, you can't go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. That's what he said. He literally says this.
As you know, I got a lot of support from this Indian.
That's where, and more to come, I think.
No, I've had a great relationship. In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian Americans moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. To fully, I'm not joking. Oh, gigantic.
What? Kane, didn't they get mad at Apu in The Simpsons?
They did, because Hank Azaria was the voice and not an actual Indian.
Yeah, it feels like this is...
Wow. There's so much on tape of Biden being racist and nothing on tape of Trump being racist, yet somehow the left thinks you're stupid.
Well, they're mad. They're hemorrhaging minority voters. And like I said, instead of being like normal people would go, wow, maybe we should talk to them about things that they're concerned about. Maybe we should have conversations about, oh, I don't know, you know, taxes and business and the economy and inflation. But they don't do that. Instead, they're like, no, all we're going to talk to you about is race because you're black. Or all we're going to talk to you about is about like race and how, you know, border should be open because you're Hispanic. And all we're going to talk to you women about is abortions. I mean, it's so... It's beyond pandering. They see people as stereotypes. They create caricatures of different voting blocks. And they like the division. They enjoy the division. But now it's kind of has them in a crossroads. Because they also want to keep trans Tifa happy. But, you know, a lot of more conservative communities, black and Hispanic community, like I said, back during the days of Prop 8, they drove that, but left couldn't get on them for it. Because then that would make the left racist, right? So they're at odds with the trans Tifa stuff. So the Democrats are hemorrhaging minority voters in large part because of all this DEI nonsense and this, you know, the trans Tifa stuff. And so instead of recognizing that and realizing where the most power lies in terms of voting blocks, they decide, oh, we're just going to lecture about race.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
You know, Trump is the most investigated person probably in the history of the world. Mm. And they haven't been able to really get him.
People might call him an asshole, but he's my asshole.
I love it. They might call him a burkhole, but he's my burkhole. It's Dennis Quaid. He cracks me up. Dennis Quaid cracks me up. I think it's funny that he was promoting. He's got like a movie coming out. It's been coming out for a while, but they've been promoting it. The Reagan movie that he's got. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you here.
Is it weird that I like Randy Quaid as much as I like Dennis Quaid?
Really?
I do.
Have you seen some of the stuff he's got? I mean, I don't dislike him, but I do think he's... Oh, no. I don't know what to think of him.
No, like the guy. Much respect.
He's not all that different from his Independence Day character.
Yes. Except in real life.
In that movie, there was proof of aliens. Ooh! Speaking of which, awards for the segue, Dana. Thank you. Thank you, little me. Let's... Do you guys see the alien story? Okay. What? Oh, hold up. I can't believe.
Let
me pull it up. In Las Vegas, I wonder if Vegas Larry has seen any of this. Larry. The Las Vegas alien that showed an 8-foot-tall creature in a cloak creeping around a yard. An expert looked at the video. I don't even know who this expert is. He's a veteran in the field of crime scene reconstruction. He worked on the Oscar Pistorius case and all that stuff. He says, yeah, it's a real video. It hasn't been digitally altered. We played audio of this when it first happened.
We played actually video this.
Yeah, we played the video. We played all of it of when it actually happened. And it was super freaky. And it's like this creepy cloaked 8-foot-tall thing in this family's yard. The family called the police and they're like, what is this? There's something creepy back here. Get it. And the police were even like, what? Now, all of the stuff on my oldest son said all of the stuff on social media is censored. Or YouTube is censored of it. All the video is censored.
Really?
Yeah. And they're like, oh, it's because it's private property. It's their private property. Like, they were talking to the press about it. I'm pretty sure the family's okay with it. It just seemed weird. They said that there's, like, all kinds of weird... They said it's been weird. And that that it's like this tall creature, and it there were 30 frames of this showing a head surrounded by smoke, which they said was like a cloaking device, and it was peeking over a fence. And the guy was like, this is not faked. Like, this is not digitally added in.
Aliens are real.
I mean, I wouldn't visit us, though. I mean, if they're real. Okay. I mean, and I really don't think that the family, by the way, cares that the footage of their own property is out there, because they have been on YouTube going, I have aliens in my backyard. So I feel like that's a cop-out.
And it's all over X. It's all over. Like, you just look it up on X, you can find all kinds of different videos, different angles, people actually even pointing out where the head and the smoke is, that sort of thing.
It's creepy looking. Yeah. Don't watch it at night. You're going to be creeped out. But I just got to say, maybe the reason we don't see them is because, have you seen us?
Right.
Have you? I mean, we literally, I had the story yesterday of a guy who spent $14,000 to become a dog. And then he was like, I don't want to be a dog anymore. It's hard to walk as a dog. Durr. All right, today's stupidity came.
Thankfully, mental illness has its limits. All right, so John Cornyn, senator from Texas.
Oh, this is so weird.
Is he a new Muslim? I don't know. Let's listen to what he just said.
Regardless of what happens in the leadership race, are you certain that you will run for re-election in 2022?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
Do you think the Texas...
I mean, God willing.
God.
Well, yeah, I mean, exactly.
Senator, what does it cost?
Inshallah.
Okay, was he saying that as like a... I don't get that part. Why?
That inshallah. Is that like if Allah allows it?
Yeah, I don't know. I that's what it means, I guess. So was he saying it as a joke, or because he thought the guy was asking him was Middle Eastern and he thought he was a... Like, I don't know.
Don't know.
Boomer, awkward. All right, that does it for us today. I'll be back on air with you tomorrow. We made it to Friday. Have a great night.